KRVS Lafayette Lake Charles, now broadcasting in HD radio technology.
Good afternoon. It's 3 p.m. Weather for the KRVS listening area. Rain and thunderstorms are possible throughout the afternoon and evening. 90% chance of rain, west winds at 5 miles per hour. This evening, showers and thunderstorms likely overnight. Low of 72 this evening, an 80% chance of precipitation overnight, dwindling down to about a 20% chance for Friday morning. On Friday, partly sunny after showers go through with a high of 88, a breeze from the north at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Friday night, partly cloudy with a low of 65. Currently, there is a little light rain in the area. 72 degrees here on the campus of UL Lafayette. Coming up at 4 o'clock this afternoon, it's All Things Considered from NPR News. Judith Merriweather will join us a little bit later on this hour as we will join Daryl Bork with his From the Poet's Bookshelf segment. Music begins with a performance of the Concerto for Violin and Orchestra, Opus 14 by Samuel Barber. Maxim Shostakovich conducts the London Symphony Orchestra featuring violinists Nadia Salerno-Sonnenberg.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Violinist Nadia Salerno-Sonnenberg performed with the London Symphony Orchestra, Maxim Shostakovich conducting. That was Samuel Barber's Concerto for Violin and Orchestra, Opus 14. This is KRVS, Lafayette Lake Charles.
It is Thursday afternoon when KRVS presents From the Poet's Bookshelf with Louisiana poet Darryl Bourk, reading works by writers from or inspired by Louisiana.
Today's two poems from Improbable Worlds, an anthology of Texas and Louisiana poets, edited by Martha Surpass, are poems by the current Louisiana Poet Laureate Julie Kane, who teaches at Northwestern State University in Natchitoches, Louisiana. The Bartender Quits Drinking. The Mater Dolorosa parking lot is always full on Fridays during Lent. I hear them chanting Stations of the Cross as I double park for the pastry shop, this boozeless season giving us a bent for donuts, candy, soda pop. 20 years ago, a schoolgirl hot in my coat, a lace mantilla on my head, I swayed like them through Stations of the Cross, thinking about forbidden chocolate ice cream and dreading the dinner ahead. Fish sticks parceled out in meager lots. Though I am not one of the good who got a smudge of ashes to make amends to Jesus for his time on the cross, it's funny how the drinking stopped to coincide with the start of Lent. I mark each sober day with a cross. I come to joy in a season of loss. And the second poem by Louisiana poet laureate Julie Kane is entitled Spider Lilies. And there's a note also called Naked Ladies in North Louisiana because they produce no leaves until after their flowers have bloomed and withered. Spider Lilies by Julie Kane. After the first rain in October, they spring up in straight rows around houses and grave plots. Something in their DNA craves a human-drawn line to follow, like grade school children writing their names on a ruled page. Up close, too, they look more like kids' toys than real flowers. Red plastic pinwheels fastened to green wooden sticks, with not one wan leaf among them. And in their centers, where you'd expect to find sexual organs and a sticky golden pollen, is only nothingness, like the crotch of a doll. Yet when I go to the poor Creole church at Ile Brevelle this time of autumn for their fair, it's not the store-bought aster, nor the rich man's rose, that I find tucked in the plaster folds of Mary's dress with a child's hope.
Join KRVS each Thursday afternoon for From the Poet's Bookshelf with Louisiana poet Darryl Bourque. And joining me in the KRVS studios this afternoon is teacher, musician, and puppeteer Alice Wallace, who has been in our studios before. Actually, it's been a while, though, Alice, to talk about your puppet troupe called Hobgoblin Hill Puppets. You are going to be giving a show on June 10th at Cité des Arts. So it's really nice to have you back in the studios talking about your work. You have been creating puppets for a very long time now, I think since the late 80s.
Well, certainly over 20 years. Mm-hmm. It's hard to keep track.
Mm-hmm. Well, you are a teacher as well. You teach in the Gifted and Talented program.
In St. Martin Parish, yes.
Mm-hmm. So that keeps you quite busy in addition to all of your other activities, literary, musical, artistic activities. Tell us a bit about Hobgoblin Hill Puppets and why you started it.
Hobgoblin Hill Puppets was something that had been on my mind for many, 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 many years. I saw Bill Baird's marionettes perform when I went to Hamilton Laboratory School here on campus, but now it's a different purpose for the building. And I saw Bill Baird's marionettes, and I was, I guess you would call it, seated. Some of us are, you know, it leaves an inevitable imprint that you know, like someday you must pay back what you saw. And that from that day, I would read any book that came my way about puppetry. And after that, about 10 years before I started reading every single book in this parish, in virtually every library, including, of course, UL Library, which has a good collection of puppet books, and the most important of all puppet books, The Art of the Puppet, by Bill.
Well, tell us about that initial show. You were a student at Hamilton?
I was a student at Hamilton, Laboratory School, and a very great school it was. They had great musical productions every year. It just seems amazing that Bill Baird would appear in Lafayette when he went on to become, you know, a phenomenon on TV. And in New York, he had his own permanent theater there. And he seated many, many, many puppeteers whom I have met. Interestingly enough, all of them seem to have derived from his style a certain similarity, so that you can always recognize a Bill Baird person, someone who's been trained by Bill Baird. Now, I was not.
Mm-hmm. But you inspired by him.
Inspired, but cut off from the whole world. There are almost no puppeteers in Louisiana, even fewer since Katrina, as some left.
Mm-hmm. Well, you mentioned he had marionettes at Hamilton School. Do you remember the story or what he was doing?
Well,
Were you just so inspired by the characters and the puppets themselves?
Well, I remember the little girl spinning straw into gold. Mm-hmm. I remember that spinning wheel vividly.
Yeah, the Rumpelstiltskin story.
Yeah, the difficulty I had with his puppets even then was the moving jaw. The moving jaw had a strict line on either side so that it gave them a harsh line, which would be appropriate on an old puppet, but mm-hmm. not on a child or a pretty girl. And it bothered me then. Mm-hmm. And so I don't ever make puppets with moving jaws unless they are meant to be either old or repellent in some way.
Well, I have a very vivid memory of you bringing a large case of puppets to KRVS and just unpacking them and laying them all over the table. You make primarily hand puppets, don't you? Or you have?
They have a special name for the kind of puppet I make, which almost no one in the U.S. does make. It's called a glove puppet. Mm-hmm. And it has your hand is in it. It is true. But the head, the hands and the feet are all wood, and it stands on jointed legs, just like a marionette. You're missing a few. I mean, you don't have the strings, and admittedly, the arms do not have elbows that can bend. But they give the illusion of marionettes, a little stiff, but nonetheless still beautiful hand-carved wood. I'm a wood addict, what can I say?
And they are lovely. Give us a sense of how many you've made over the years.
I haven't the faintest idea.
Hundreds?
I'm sure I've gone over 100 long ago, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. but I don't keep track. They live as families in their suitcases. Like one show will be in one suitcase. In the case of the crocodiles, we have a crocodile suitcase which houses puppets, crocodiles who play different characters, but they're all a family. Like one is the wicked mother, and so she plays the wicked mother in Cinderella. She'll play the wicked mother in any other fairy tale. We have the wicked witch crocodile. We have the pretty blonde crocodile. We have the snotty sisters crocodiles, and so they can rotate from fairy tale to fairy tale.
Well, how many different shows do you have at this point?
Oh, God.
That's a hard question, too.
Yeah, ours is a repertory company, mm-hmm. and that means that we can bring out and perform certainly 12 puppet shows at any given time on no notice at all.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe list some of the shows that you do.
Mm-hmm. Well, at the Renaissance Festival, we specialize in historic reproduction. The latest addition to our family is Petrushka. I researched the Russian puppet play Petrushka, which Stalin did his very, very best to stamp out, as he did, pretty successfully. And then we do Dance of Death, which is the puppet play that won us the UNIMA Award, which is the highest award puppetry gives. Temptation of St. Anthony is a few years old. That's a miracle play, which is loads of fun. Managed to work the crocodiles into that as the demons decided to go on vacation since there weren't enough souls to keep them busy, so they had to hire some temps.
Crocodiles.
And so the crocodiles take on the duties of the demons.
So you also mentioned St. George and the Dragon.
St. George and the Dragon.
Seven Deadly Sins. Punch and Judy, of course.
Oh, yeah. Well, Punch and Judy's a little violent, so we do it on the Renaissance grounds where people are ready to see history as it was. They don't fuss at us for not having cleaned it up a bit. I regret to say Seven Deadly Sins has been retired because we didn't get enough of the audience reaction we were hoping for. It just wasn't funny enough. And we have to have that feedback, or we feel our energy's just oozing out of our fingers, and we just walk away sodden and exhausted and a little depressed that this person got up and walked away in the middle of the play. They're beautiful puppets, but what can I say? A morality play is a hard sell.
Seven Deadly Sins doesn't sound too comical.
Well, it has its moments, but like many such plays, you have a human character who goes through the stages of life, experiencing certain temptations. But as I said, it's, alas, retired. We only keep the plays that keep the audience rocking. Now, St. George and the Dragon and Dance of Death, we started from year 2000, which was the opening of the Renaissance Festival, and those have been flying high ever since.
So people can see your work every year at the Renaissance Festival, mm-hmm. which takes place in Louisiana.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In Hammond.
All right.
6 weekends straight from the beginning of December. And we perform 4 shows a day, never the same show twice. And try not to do the same show. We try to do, you know, rotate the shows so that we have like 7 plays each weekend, except always we do Dance of Death every single day because it's demanded.
And I, we're a little handicapped with radio. I can't show pictures over the air of these puppets, but they truly are astonishing. Not only the carving of the faces on these puppets, but your costumes. You're an accomplished seamstress, and you have done a lot of research into period costumes, and the costumes for these puppets are so accurate and so beautiful.
Well, you're very kind. I was the costumer for a production of Tempest here at UL, and Othello with the Lafayette Community Theater some time ago, but I was in the Society for Creative Anachronism, and you get a very quick education in costuming in a very practical way. Mm-hmm. It's come in very handy.
Well, and it's a little bit different to be making miniature costumes. I mean, that's quite fine.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Yeah, and also because these are such intimate puppet shows, people are up quite close.
They
and so
are.
You want the costumes to be very elegant, very well done.
That's not normal for puppet companies. Mm-hmm. Most puppet companies keep the costumes simple, and they do not take great care as to what fabrics they choose. And so they find themselves having to recostume the puppets, or else they retire the puppets because they consider the show temporary. But these puppet shows go round and round and round. The costumes last almost forever. Occasionally, I'll have to change a head or a hand as having lost a thumb. But the costumes do hold because I use, like, silks and cottons and velvets, things that can really take a beating, because our puppets are not kind to each other.
I've seen a few shows.
Yes.
And they do beat each other around the
head.
They
are very naughty.
I can imagine why they lose a few fingers here and there. If you have just tuned in, my guest is Alice Wallace, a musician, teacher, puppeteer. She has created Hobgoblin Hill Puppets. They've been around since, looks like 1987.
Mm-hmm.
You founded Hobgoblin Hill Puppets. You will be putting on a show at Cité des Arts Sunday, June 10th, and it's called Goldilocks Goes to the Wrong House. How long have you been performing that piece, or is it a new one?
That's an old one.
Okay.
It is, however, possibly our most popular children's play. It seems to be universally accepted and enjoyed. The problem is, well, it started with my making a bear, and then naturally you think, Goldilocks and the Three Bears. But I didn't want to make another bear. Making the first bear was enough trouble, so I thought, wouldn't it be cheating, would it, if I had another animal? So how about Goldilocks the bear and 2 sheep? Well, then of course there were the crocodiles. People love those crocodiles. So as the story proceeds, the storyteller tells that there are going to be 3 bears, but only 1 bear shows up. And so he decides, okay, Goldilocks, the bear, and the 2 sheep. But only 1 sheep shows up. And so finally he throws in his towel and says, Goldilocks, the bear, the sheep, and the crocodile. It's not long before the crocodile has eaten the sheep. And things just degenerate from there.
I can see why that's one of your more popular shows. Children must love that.
They do. Mm-hmm. And so the poor storyteller has to bring in a wooden roller sheep. And it just sort of stands in, and the puppets play with it from time to time, just to hear it squeak.
Hmm. Well, I can imagine that over the years you've trained a few puppeteers yourself. I mean, you must need help. You can't, you know, you've only got two hands.
It's an interesting point. Mm-hmm. My current partner is Marcus Quibido, who started as a freshman at St. Martin Parish Schools, and he premiered one of my plays, Quest for Rice Pudding, which is done entirely with Indonesian rod puppets. And when my previous partner suddenly had to step out, it seemed an obvious choice to grab Marcus and say, and talk to his parents and say, how would it be if I simply took him to Hammond with me? And he started joining the Renaissance Festival and doing puppet shows with me, and it's lasted for quite a long time. Alas, he's gone to go into the military now, but I have two immensely talented students who just did their first show this year, and it's hard to choose between them, but unfortunately one of them's a girl and one of them's a guy, but I want them both.
Well,
so they're going to have to learn the whole repertory. I definitely have to have a guy, because I don't do many guy voices, and the girl is just too talented to let go.
Well, it sounds like Hobgoblin Hill Puppets is expanding, training more puppeteers for us all. I'm sure some people are wondering if you have some kind of a website. Do you have a...
Oh, yes. Where good heavens. Mm-hmm. Hobgoblin Hill Puppet. You see, you either go www.hobgoblinhill or www.hobgoblinhillpuppets, and you'll find our site. It does not list our schedule in any way, but it does show some of our puppets and some of our shows and some of our resume, and it has some very nice pictures in it, I must say.
I was thinking that what people would be most interested in is seeing photographs of those puppets. And so you have photographs of some of the shows as well.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so check that out, Hobgoblin Hill Puppets.
And I finally figured out how to get us onto YouTube. So the play Goldilocks Goes to the Wrong House can be seen on YouTube. All you have to do is put in these search terms, Hobgoblin Hill and Goldilocks, or just Hobgoblin Hill Puppets into YouTube, and you'll hit our site. And we have several of our shows, including Dance of Deaths. I think St. George and the Dragon is there. I can't remember. I can't remember what else is up there.
Okay, well, people are pretty good at searching that out and finding pieces.
Oh, yeah, better than me.
All right, if you're very interested and would like a little preview before going to the show on the 10th, you can stop by YouTube and put in Hobgoblin Hill Puppets and look for Goldilocks Goes to the Wrong House or some of the other pieces. Go to the website Hobgoblin Hill Puppets, and you can see photographs of some of the wonderful puppets that Alice has made over the years. Again, Hobgoblin Hill Puppets will be performing live here in Lafayette at Cité des Arts on Sunday, June 10th at 3 o'clock. And Cité does have a schedule of events, so you could stop by their site, bookmark it, and make sure that you get that in your calendar for Hobgoblin Hill Puppets. It is for children. Children can go and see it. It's not like one of your more violent, but which are all for kids anyway. I mean, it's fascinating. I remember bringing my own when they were quite young to see one of the more violent plays. And it was great. again, Alice Wallace, a very talented person in our community, has been creating shows with Hobgoblin Hill Puppets since 1987 and has been making puppets for even longer, has been inspired by puppets since she was a student. Always happy to talk to people about puppeteering and Hobgoblin Hill Puppets. So again, you can find out more information at that website or attend the show on the 10th, and she'll be happy to chat with you there. Thank you so much, Alice.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
Thank you.
at what's happening in the arts and culture in South Louisiana. Lots of classes and camps being offered this summer for adults and children. UL's continuing education program and Potpourri have a number of courses for children starting in June. Also, there are computer classes through continuing education as well. You can find out more by going to the continuing ed part of the website here at UL Lafayette. Also, there will be a cyber camp at the Light Center in Lafayette. First date is June 25th through the 29th. The second camp is July 30th through August 3rd. It's being offered by the Academy of Interactive Entertainment at the Light Center. For more information, you can call Light and they'll direct you to the right website. And the Acadiana Center for the Arts and the Lafayette Science Museum have teamed up again this summer. They'll be offering a number of camps, the Art and Science of Sound. For more information or to register, stop by the Acadiana Center for the Arts. The Children's Museum of Acadiana also offering a number of camps for children, including the Ham Camp, a Ceramics Camp, a Jewelry Camp, and Camp Construction. For information or to register your child, you can go to the Children's Museum of Acadiana website. The Acadiana Symphony Orchestra has camps for children as well. Story Palooza, Summer Piano Camp, Expedition Acadiana, and the Visual Arts Camp. Stop by their website or call their offices, the Acadiana Symphony Orchestra. And Cité des Arts has a number of camps as well. Jim Phillips and Cherie Cohn will be presenting the Imagination Camp for ages 7 through 17. Jim Phillips and Crystal Place will present the camp. They're going to put you in the movies. Stop by Cité's website or call them for more information about those camps. Tonight at Freetown Studios in Lafayette, artist Stephanie Patton will be giving an artist talk, a presentation about her work and the life of an artist. It's free and open to everyone. It starts at 7 o'clock. Doors open at 6:30. The presentation begins at 7 and it is free. Freetown Studios is at 421 East Convent Street in Lafayette. And the play True West by Sam Shepard is opening at Theater 810 this evening. It will run through the weekend. The play is being directed by Bruce Cohn and stars Brock and Blake Huffpower, Dominic Cross, and Winnie Darfin-Bakke. Performances are at 7:30 on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday evenings, and at 3 o'clock on Sunday. For more information or tickets, you can call Theater 810 at 484-0172 or email them at theater810@gmail.com. There are only about 50 seats in the theater, so it's a good idea to reserve your tickets ahead of time. In Grand Coteau this evening, poets Zane Turner and Jocelyn Young will be reading from their work. There will be an open mic session after the two readers. The program starts at 7. It is free and open to everyone and will take place at Casa Azul in Grand Coteau on Martin Luther King Drive. In Lake Charles, the First Friday Reading Series presents B. Carrie Moore at 7 o'clock at the Porch Coffee House. The Porch has partnered with the Arts and Humanities Council to present this reading series, which features poets and writers on the first Friday of each month. Also in Lake Charles, Theater presents Stephen Sondheim's Into the Woods. There will be live music, and it's directed by local guest director Damien Thibodeau. It features Grimm's fairy tale characters from Jack and the Beanstalk, Cinderella and her evil stepsisters, Rapunzel, and many more other characters. That's this weekend, opens June 1st at Axe Theater in Lake Charles. Tickets are available through their website, axetheater.com, or by calling 337-433-ACTS. This weekend, Saturday, the Bluesberry Festival will take place in downtown Lafayette at the Blue Moon Saloon. Just before, there will be a Bluesberry Cruise. It's a bike ride beginning at Parc Sans Souci. Bikers must wear blue, and they'll receive free tickets for various items at the Bluesberry Festival. The festival begins at 6 o'clock. There will be a blues jam session, a blueberry dish tasting, a blueberry crown, and the Best Dressed in Blue Award, and then lots of great blues music, Henry Gray and the Cats, and Cedric Burnside. That's this Saturday at the Blue Moon. The bike ride, the Blues Cruise, is at 5, and then the Bluesberry Festival at 6 o'clock. The Lake Charles Community Band is nearing the close of its 2011-2012 season with the Catch a Concert series every Monday in June at 7 o'clock. Those concerts will be on the front lawn of the Lake Charles Civic Center every Monday in June. And summer events for children are being offered in Eunice by the Eunice Public Library at the Liberty Theater. June 6th, there will be a storytelling session at 10 a.m. in the morning. Sean Driscoll's The Story Ship will take place. For a complete listing, you can call the Eunice Public Library or go to their website. And for a listing of programs on KRVS, you can stop by our website, which is krvs.org, and take a look at our schedule. You can also look at individual programs as well, and you can podcast programs on KRVS. Many of our locally produced programs have podcasts. You can go to that program and either listen to archived programs there, or you can download them for listening to later on. And of course, you can always support KRVS very securely at that website. Click the support button and find out the many ways that you can support KRVS. Stay tuned to us this afternoon and evening. We're with NPR's All Things Considered from 4 until 6. From 6 to 7, Terry Gross hosts Fresh Air. At 7 o'clock on Thursdays, it's This American Life, hosted by Ira Glass. At 8, Thistle and Shamrock. At 9, Val Broussard Boston's Franco Mix. At 10, Cecil Doyle's Earthbeat. At 11, Afropop. Spin Cycle at midnight and the Midnight Snack at 1 o'clock in the morning. In just a moment, we join NPR's All Things Considered.